Happy Monday to everybody. You are listening to Wynn Tucson, and I'm Kathleen Wynn, your host. And it's been our goal to bring solutions for everyday issues and to give you hope for a better Tucson. And one of the people that I've recently got to know and been inspired by is Robin Stoddard. And Robin was a fighter pilot for 30 years in the Air Force. He has flown A-7s, F-16s, A-10s, has 3 combat deployments over the skies of Iraq, 2 in Afghanistan, where he received the Bronze Star and Air Medal. Early in his career, Robin received the prestigious Anthony C. Shine Award, which is only given out to one fighter pilot each year. But Robin is the founder and executive director of Wright Flight, named for the Wright brothers, a nonprofit corporation he started in the 1986 and 1980s. And since then, he has introduced over 30,000, that's right, 30,000 youngsters to the dream of flight. His work has been honored by the White House and the U.S. Senate, and he joins me today on Wynn Tucson. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And interest of full disclosure, I was with you Saturday out at Ryan Field and watched 21 kids take their first flight. It's a program, and I'd love for you to let my listeners know about Wright Flight and the great work that you're doing with our young people.
Well, thanks, Kathleen. Yeah, as you mentioned, we're named after the Wright brothers, and we think their example of setting a goal that might seem impossible and then working 4 years to achieve it and getting the dream of flight is appropriate to youngsters today. So we have kids sign a contract, like raise your grade in school from a math grade from a C to an A or C to a B, and pass a history of aviation test. And if they get to do that, if they pass the test and pass their goal with a teacher, they get to fly an airplane, actually sit with our pilots and fly with an airplane. So some teachers just find it transforming. The kids, instead of getting a letter grade, they get the dream of flight.
And so the 21 kids that were there met all those requirements, yes?
Yeah, and some of the kids in the same classrooms didn't meet the requirements, and they weren't allowed to show up. It's not a field trip where everybody gets a participation trophy, you know, third runner-up for special approved student award.
What a concept that you actually have to earn the prize that you get. That may be something useful for people in their adult life, correct?
It is. We had one teacher last year. She said not one of her students earned the right to fly, and she told them, none of you are going to go fly. And they all were disappointed. They thought it'd be a field trip, and she said that was as valuable a lesson as anything they've learned in school that year, that if you don't do the work, you don't get to fly. And we always let people try again, and many of her students were successful on the second time, but she said it was a great lesson for her kids.
Well, I think it is a privilege. There was one young man yesterday who had a very unique story in that his dad, so you've been doing this since 1986, right?
Correct.
And his father had flown as a young man and had really encouraged his son to do this program. And so can you share a little bit about that story with our listeners?
Yeah, it was an amazing story. I had just met this mom while we were waiting for the kids to fly, and she said that her husband flew Wright Flight, a decade and a half ago or whatever the time frame was. I was totally looking forward for her son to fly. And then she goes, but his father passed away a few months ago. And I go, oh my gosh, how, if you don't mind me asking? And then she goes, he was murdered. And so then the grandmother of the kid comes into the conversation and says, I want to see my grandson closer to my husband, to my son today, her husband, because he'll be closer to him in heaven. And I just about lost it.
Yeah, this little boy said he had wanted to fly so he could be close to his dad, because his dad, he knew it was in heaven. And I met the same grandmother, and I met the young man. The pilot that took him up was Tom Dew, I believe. Is that the right name?
And Tom Dew was there flying for us. Yeah.
And Tom told me that out of all the kids he not only had that day, but that this kid was probably one of the best young pilots that he had. So clearly the connection he has with his dad, who's no longer with us, and going on this trip, was significant enough and really important to this young man. Not only did he meet all the criteria, but he flew a plane for the very first time on Saturday, and that was exciting. And all these parents are waiting for these kids, and you know, you can tell the parents are a little nervous. Some of the kids were excited, some of the kids were very quiet. It was a wonderful group of children. And and how old are these kids that you're taking up?
We start the program in fifth grade, so we have kids as young as 11 years old flying airplanes because they earned the right to fly. And then we've gone all the way up through high school, and even 1 year the U of A wanted it for a dropout prevention program for some of their minority freshmen. So we work with anyone we can, but mostly it's middle school years that seems to be the most effective.
And I have to tell people, in the interest of full disclosure, I have never flown a plane before Saturday. And I was given the opportunity to go up in a plane, and I thought I was just going to get a ride and kind of see the layout of the land. But for 20 minutes, I actually flew a plane from Tucson down to Green Valley and back. And to my delight, no one died. And also, and my husband complimented me. Now, I have to let you know, he prefers my flying to my driving. So this was quite the adventure to be able to go up and really take control of this plane. And it was choppy a little bit. I have to tell you, I was scared. But it was very empowering to experience that. And I've never flown a plane before Saturday. I don't know that I ever will again, but it was exciting. And I think I must have mentioned to my husband at least 10 more times that I flew a plane that day. So I thank you for that opportunity. And quite honestly, it is very empowering to know that you can do that. And I can only imagine for these young people the opportunity that this is and what a privilege this is.
I like the fact that you used the word empowering, because we had one teacher say, after the kids are done with Right Flight, he said, they tracked the kids. He said the honor roll went up 78% that year. Same kids, same school, same maybe good or bad home situation. But the kids, once they learned how to learn and learned how they could motivate themselves, they were empowered to do even better and continue doing better. And most people, and he also said to a kid, anytime a kid would start to get in trouble or maybe start failing or something, he'd say, look, a few months ago you flew an airplane. You can do anything you want. You got to get right with yourself and make this happen. And he said the fact that he could use that for the kids, it empowered them to do even better in the future.
Robin, we've got to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your career and what inspired you to do this and how we as a community can help you keep planes flying, kids driving, and empowering our next generation. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson, my guest Robin Stoddard with Right Flight on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back. Solutions for everyday problems. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We're talking to Robin Stoddard, who is inspiring, encouraging, and training young people how to fly planes. Robin, you spent 30 years in the Air Force. And by the way, thank you for your service. And I think you have three kids, and two of your kids are also in the Air Force, right?
Correct. My oldest son's a fighter pilot. He's had 150 combat missions. My other son works for Space Command, but he's also a private pilot. And my daughter, who's not in the Air Force, also is a pilot.
Well, obviously, they got the memo to do what dad does. So, and then that's encouraging. A lot of kids don't want to do what their parents do. So good job. We should probably have you parent another 30,000 kids. I think we could save the world. What inspired you? I mean, this is quite an undertaking. There were, I think, 11, 12 planes there on Saturday. You have to have pilots. You have to have volunteers. What was exciting is the kids got a photograph with them and the pilot, that the pilot wrote them a note. So they go through this process. They get to fly. What was your thinking back in 1986? Why this venue? I understand you have a background in it, but why this venue, and what made you think that this could make a difference?
Well, back in the early 80s, I would take leave from the Air Force and go fly missionaries down the Sierra Madre Mountains, very rough and remote landing strips, and the village kids would come out and just swarm the airplanes. I saw that kids had a natural fascination with flight, even from the poorest villages. And so that plus my thoughts of it as an Air Force captain at the time, you know, kids are not getting the same type of technical education they should be, or learning about our history the way they should be. Nobody knows the story about the Wright brothers or Jimmy Doolittle or the Tuskegee Airmen at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I put together a program, and I went to one school in Tucson, and this wonderful lady, Pi Irwin, principal, said, yeah, let's try it. And if she had said no, it would have never happened. But Pi Irwin of the Tucson Unified School District, and then decided to try to work it with volunteers. We have some amazing volunteers. This one volunteer named Laura, she helps run the entire fly day. She's not a pilot, but she is a great presence and a wonderful smile, and she just coordinates all the volunteers and all the pilots and all the ground volunteers. So we can use new volunteers, by the way. Wrightfly.org is our website, so if anybody wants to go to Wrightfly.org.
And that's spelled W-R-I-G-H-T for those of you who don't know the Orville and Wilbur. Yeah. But yeah, Wrightfly.org?
.org, yeah, F-L-I-G-H-T. So, but these volunteers are amazing. Tom Dew, you mentioned, he's been a pilot for probably at least a decade or 8 to 10 years. And we have other pilots that are also military veterans. We have Vietnam era veterans. We have one of the greatest mechanics of all time. He's just made our airplane so safe for the kids. Mark, he's just amazing with a wrench. And Tom Willis, a Rotary Club member, he comes out and helps do the safety brief for the people. So it's just amazing, because you couldn't do it without volunteers. If we didn't have volunteers, we could fly one-tenth as many kids if we had to pay for everything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And during COVID, unfortunately, you had a kind of almost shut down. So you, my understanding is you were doing almost 600 kids during a school year. This year you hope to get to 400. So we need to help you build this back. And so some of the schools that you were in, you're not in right now. I did contact my contact at Sarita School, just so you know. I have three granddaughters there, all with the last name of Wynn. They recently were here on my show with me for during spring break, and their dad is an airplane mechanic. So he was up for the task, served in the Army, not in the Air Force, but the Army National Guard and the Army. And so I think they were excited that this could be a program and that their kids could learn and get this privilege to fly. What else are the needs of an organization? Volunteers, absolutely. You've got a lot of retired military, so hopefully this would be a task that they would want to take on. But what other needs do you have? If you haven't served in the military, you haven't been a pilot.
Yeah, well, one thing is, of course, funding. The price of avgas has doubled in the last 2 years, basically, thanks to some policies of people we know back east.
And so that was very. Thank you for doing it just that way. I appreciate that. We're kind of issues, not politics, and I'll let that literally fly under the wire. So go ahead.
Well, and we have a neat thing called the Wright Flight 1903 Club. So the Wright brothers first flew in 1903, and we ask people to donate $19.03 once a month on credit card, or 1 hour of pay if they can afford it, once a month. So 1903, 63 cents a day, and that's about the how much it costs us to fly, or about half the cost of the fuel for a flight of a kid. So they could go to our website, wrightfly.org, and sign up for the 1903 Club, and then once a month they get $19.03 taken out, and that really helps us. The more people that do that, or some people, we have one local lieutenant colonel who gives us $700 a month. It's amazing. Some people just love the program, and that's what they do. And we have other donors like the Hillman Foundation has done great work. Shelby Hawkins, an amazing, amazing woman. She sold her business, and she's given us tens of thousands of dollars to help these kids, because she knows with the right amount of training and education, they can be better citizens too. So it's amazing. Mike Anderson from WeBuyHouses.com, he's helped us out so much. And these people that can help us. And we encourage any of your listeners, if you have an extra spare dime, a dollar, $10,000, we can sure use your help. We're a 501c3, of course, and tax deductible. So we're looking for volunteers and money. And then other people that are aviators, you have an old set of headsets or you have an airplane you want to donate, or donate half and we buy half, we'd be interested.
It's exciting. And given that you've been doing this since 1986, have any of your old students ever come back or contacted you? Obviously, we have the story of this young man whose dad participated in the program and hopefully over on Saturday saw his son fly from his new point of view. But have you had people that have said, yes, I did this as a child, it impacted my life? Do you have any of those stories?
Oh, yeah. It's some of them deal with aviation and some don't. Just like a non-aviation story, I was in a Pep Boys one day. And this guy came up to me and said, hey, I think you flew me about 10 years ago in Wright Flight. I go, oh, yeah, I probably did. He goes, well, I decided if I can fly an airplane at 11 years old, I can own a Pep Boys one day. And he was, as a teenager, an assistant night manager of a Pep Boys. I'm sure he owns one or two of them by now. But he thought the thing that catalyst for him was, if I can fly an airplane, I can do whatever I choose to do. So he didn't go into aviation, but he became inspired by the fact that he could fly an airplane. And then we have other people, they're pilots now. There's people in the military now, military pilots, civilian pilots. We have one young lady, she's now the assistant manager of an airport. She started with Wright Flight. One of Shelby Hawkins' daughters got inspired by aviation. She became an engineer and I think even worked for NASA for a while. So kids that get inspired by aviation, one of our pilots had a good saying. He said, hey, if you get a kid involved in aviation when they're a teenager, they don't have enough money to do drugs or get in trouble.
Because they have to spend it all on planes and fuel and everything else.
Exactly.
My husband was one of those. And he went on to become a really wonderful aerospace engineer and design 26 aircraft. So there's merit to your story. Well, I've got firsthand knowledge of that. So that's exciting. And by the way, my husband, I do drive more on the ground, but he let me fly, and he was a passenger, and honestly, he commended my flight. So I'll have to figure out how we get from one point to the other. But I was so impressed by the entire way that you ran the program on Saturday. I knew what it took for those kids to be there, and I think you changed at least what I saw, 21 lives, but now obviously thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. And
we're going to do another 30 this upcoming weekend on Friday and Saturday. And we can always use more volunteers. But yeah, you change a kid's life not by giving them something, not by giving them a trophy. You give them a challenge and they come to challenge, and then you set a fire underneath their, their dreams. And so we say, hey, may this flight lead to your dreams, better dreams, for whatever you do, choose to do in life. And we're pretty proud. And our volunteer crew, without our volunteers, we couldn't do it.
Well, and it's not a manipulation. It is something that they pour themselves into, they work hard for, and then they are rewarded. And that is really a lesson for life. If you work hard, you should get your dreams. If you work hard, you should be rewarded. And I think that it's a perfect mirror to how life should work in this country. We have about a minute. Is there anything else, Robin, that you'd like to add before we go out? Give your website one more time for sure.
Yeah, so rightflight.org. But here's one for your listeners. We have a young lady. We first flew about 12 years ago. She's now a pilot, and she's a motivational speaker around the world, and she owns her own airplane. She was born without arms.
Ah, yes, Kim.
She flies an airplane with her feet only. So people say, oh, I can't do it because I don't have money, or I don't, I'm too tall or short or whatever, or I'm the wrong race. She is a pilot now because of Wright Flight. Wright Flight started flying her. We helped her get extra flights, and now she's going around the world as a motivational speaker, and she flies an airplane without arms, with her feet only.
Well, and
so
she,
go to Wright Flight, help us out.
We will, and Kim was on our show. She was the Rodeo Days
Jessica.
So thank you so much for coming on today, and hope to see you soon, and we will continue to support the work that you're doing. Fly
thanks,
high.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Final salute to all our volunteers.
Thank you. Have a great day. Welcome back to Win Tucson. We are going to now shift gears and talk about our small business in Arizona. And I've got on Chad Henricks, who is the Arizona representative for NFIB. And Chad, welcome to Win Tucson on this Monday, and thanks for joining us. I think, yeah, Chad?
Yes, this is Chad.
Hi, welcome to Win Tucson, and thanks for joining us this morning. So you are in the middle of a legislative session, and NFIB has been, I get emails almost not every day, but quite frequently. I read them all because it's important. You are one of the strongest lobbyists that we have that are fighting for small business in Arizona. And last week I received a bill, a memo about oppose HB 2290. And I'd like you to share with my listeners what that is and why we need to help point our legislators in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate you having me on this morning. This is the time of year where we're running into deadlines on legislation. And so a lot of pressure gets put on lawmakers to hear certain bills. So we're in day 78 of the legislative session, and we're also in the last week to hear policy bills in committees. House Bill 2290 actually is one that NFIB and our small business owners oppose because it will only make the cost of health care increase. And that is a struggle for our small business owners, because oftentimes our small business owners offer health insurance to their employees through employee benefits. And as you can imagine, when health care costs go up, health insurance costs go up. And this is a prime example of a bill in the legislature that will do nothing but increase the price of health care. And frankly, run counter to efforts that many are making in the legislature to try to reduce the pressure of inflation and price increases on Arizonans. So we're asking the members of the Senate Government Committee on Wednesday to vote no on this bill.
And it seems to me that it undermines the free market principles of a business, right? That because you're essentially imposing if you pass this, imposing a tax or a surplus on their business because the cost increase. And we have so much inflation and so many other pressures that are on our small business in Arizona. What is your read right now on the legislature? Do people understand the impact?
Well, I think I'm hopeful, Kathleen, for a couple reasons. Mainly, we've heard from leadership this year that they are concerned about inflation and the impact on Arizonans. And this bill, because it layers on an additional level of bureaucracy related to health care claims, this bill will only increase those health care costs. So as you alluded to, it does place the state government in between two private entities, basically placing mandates on those transactions, which is rare to see in any private dealings. But in addition, it's going to put upward our healthcare system and will impact every Arizonan, because they'll either have insurance through their employer or they won't, and their insurance or their healthcare costs will go up as a result. And so that's going to hurt either both the businesses and the employees that have those benefits.
And it hurts large businesses as well as small businesses. This isn't exclusive just to small businesses.
It's not exclusive to small businesses, but I would say that oftentimes large businesses have bigger balance sheets, right?
Correct.
They can more accommodate these price increases than small businesses. Small businesses don't have that type of flexibility. So they end up having to increase prices on all consumers, reduce staff, or reduce benefits, which, you know, we're all looking for quality employees. And these employer-provided benefit packages are one of the attractive things that people see when they go to work for a small business.
It looks like that you had some business owners from Glendale come out and speak on this. So do you want to share about some of your members, I think, that have been very vocal about this?
Yes, we have actually published in Friday's Arizona Capital Times, Cliff Wixon, who owns Cliffco, a large machining operation in the northwest area of Phoenix, published an editorial talking about how bad this would be for his business. And he actually cited a recent survey from NFIB that found 94% of our local job creators find it challenging to manage the cost of offering health insurance. So again, this goes right back to why are we moving forward a bill that would without doubt raise healthcare costs and put pressure on small businesses that are trying to recruit employees and offer employer-sponsored health insurance.
And Chad, do you have more small businesses coming to NFIB since you guys are doing such a great job of advocating for NFIB?
Well, NFIB continues to grow. We have roughly 4,000 to 5,000 members in the state, which seems like a large number. We are actually the largest member organization advocating for small businesses at the Capitol in Arizona. But obviously, we have a lot of room to grow. And so I would encourage your folks, if you have a business of any size, privately owned business, just go to nfib.com and click on join and see what it takes to be a member, because we could use the help.
Besides the increase to healthcare costs, which would adversely affect business, what other issues is NFIB working on this session?
Well, we actually do have a handful of bills that we've marked as really key votes for this legislative session. The only bill that we are opposing is House Bill 2290 that we just talked about. But we have a few other bills that would be very helpful for businesses. One that has to do with, it's actually nicknamed the Permit Freedom Act, which would put
I like that. We like freedom, anything freedom, and I'm assuming that you don't have to get permits, or it reduces the amount of permits. I don't even know, but I'm going to guess that that's what this does.
Actually, all it does is the short title of it has to do with clarity and criteria for permitting. So, as you would like to see in any transaction, if you're going to apply for a permit, local government and state government, please give me an idea on what is required for me to get this accepted and what is the time frame for it to be approved. So pretty basic bill there. Another one where we're paying attention to is an unemployment benefits bill run by Representative Livingston. House Bill 2108 is a bill that we support that would add some additional requirements for folks that are on the unemployment rolls. But should be actively seeking work, and so it just puts some requirements on there that they show good faith efforts in checking for jobs every week. And then we have a couple bills that deal with business personal property tax and commercial property tax, which I think I talked to you earlier this year on the show about. So those are really the five key bills that we're working on as session wanes on here in Phoenix.
And are you seeing that the legislature is, by a very slim margin, is controlled by the Republicans? Are you able to win over any of the Democrats for the bills? Because it seems like it has, a lot of these bills have gone right down party lines. Is there anything that you're working on that you're for that you have more consensus other than just the Republicans?
Well, I would say that most of these have initially, when they passed their House of Origin, so the House bills in the House or the Senate bills in the Senate, they have been party line. I will tell you that on the health care costs bill, the House Bill 2290, that has had bipartisan opposition. And so we're hopeful in that, we're hoping to have that bill go to the sideline here shortly.
And one of the other things that NFIB does is you do a federal update. You look at the congressional outlook for small businesses. This is done outside of the state, but those that are members get the benefit of federal government relations that NFIB has. And how important are these updates that we hear from NFIB?
Well, I think they're very, very important. Our elected officials in D.C. need to hear from the local business owners. And NFIB has a very aggressive program in Washington, D.C., but we bridge that gap through just basic tools that allow our members to speak directly to their lawmakers. And so you can reach out to your House or Senate representatives in Washington, D.C., just as a member of NFIB. We, as you know, as a member, Kathleen,
yes,
you're receiving updates from us, a quick email that says, hey, share your views on this issue, whatever it may be. Those are great opportunities for our business members. And also, for the members that want to be a little more involved, we do regular fly-ins to Washington, D.C., where we meet with leadership, where we meet with our representatives. So members of NFIB have that opportunity as well.
Well, I just learned to fly on Saturday, so I flew 20 whole minutes and no one died. So that's cool. Maybe I'll just fly in. And one last question, Chad, before we go to break, which is the proposed new tax proposals for fiscal year 2024. I'm hoping we're a big no to what's currently been proposed, because I think it would be crippling for business in this country.
I would say, aside of new regulations and layering on additional bureaucracy, taxes would be the worst thing to add on, especially during this time of uncertainty for our small businesses.
Well, Chad, I want to thank you for coming on, for updating us. I didn't want too much time because I knew we were coming to some of the deadlines in the legislature. If people want to join NFIB, give my listeners the website.
NFIB.com, and you can just click join on the website, and it'll walk you through a couple questions and give you your choices.
My listeners are some of the smartest people on the planet, so we want them to stay informed. I want to thank you for coming on this Monday. Chad Hendricks, NFIB, we'll have you back soon. Have a great week.
Thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
You're listening to 1030 AM The Voice. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Dave and Betsy Smith on their way to the Cubs game. But we'll sneak in a little bit about politics. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson on this Monday. We are going to be joined by Betsy and Dave Smith, but I had a listener call in. Charles, go ahead with your question. This is Kathleen Wynn. Hi.
Thank you, Kathleen. I just had a quick question, and maybe you can find out even though the senator's gone. And that is, there's something called HB 2456. It's continuation of funding for the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind.
Oh, yes.
And it's been stalled in the Senate for over a month. They actually passed it unanimously in the House earlier. And then it's been read twice in the Senate, and nobody has been able to tell me, or anybody else has been able to find out
why
they can't just pass it on the third read.
So here's what I can promise you. We're going to talk to some of our state legislators this week. I'm aware of this bill. I'm actually, it's a longer conversation, and we'll come back to this. So stay tuned and stay with us this week, and we will cover this issue. But I do know there's some issues about funding and how much money per student, and there's some issues right now. So I know that's why it's being held. But I'll let the experts talk to you about it. And I appreciate you listening to the show, Charles. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to bring on two dear friends, but some of the hardest working people I know in the Republican Party, Dave and Betsy Smith. Welcome to Wynn Tucson, guys.
Hey, Kathleen. Thanks for having us. We sound a little loud because we're on our way to see the Cubs play the White Sox in spring training in Mesa.
I am so jealous. As a lifelong Cubs fan, and by the way, the White Sox Junior League, just, you know, substandard baseball team, so they should clean up today. I'll be really embarrassed if we lose. So you guys cheer extra loud. Cheer extra loud for me, okay?
How much of our audience did we just lose now?
I don't know. I don't know. If they're not Cubs fans, I'm okay. Red, white, and blue, baby. Not black and white. Let's just go with the team that is, you know, we're talking Ernie Banks, Glenn Beckert, Ferguson Jenkins, Leo DeRocher.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Brickhouse was the announcer. Like, I'm going way back. Way, baby.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're a long time lifelong. Growing up in Flagstaff, we didn't have a team, of course, and we had our WGN, so we all watched our Cubs. I can remember Lee Smith, his rookie year, going out and watching him when he was starting spring ball. It was just always so fun, and now we're heading back up for spring ball.
Hey, go Cubs. I love it. Yeah. So with that, how are things going in Pima County for the Republicans? I think we've had some victories. We definitely need to get some more members. The Democrats are planning on spending, I got this memo this morning, $60 million against us in the next 12 months. So we've got some work to do. What do we need to do as a party, Dave?
What we need to do is get off the couch and get involved like so many of our brothers and sisters have. You know, folks, for the first time in this century, we have a complete slate, almost completely done. If you haven't signed for our ward people or our mayor, please go online, sign those petitions, because we have outstanding people running. We've got people helping, doing a fantastic job, gathering signatures. We've got, you know, I tell you what, our turnout to things like the Board of Supervisors have just been phenomenal, but we've got to keep the momentum. Don't say, okay, we'll let somebody else do it. It's time to stop doing that. We are on fire. Look what happened with the Bookman's issue. It was because people listening got involved with these school boards. More and more of you listening are getting involved. So get up and get involved. I don't care how much money they have. It's bodies, it's intensity, it's faith, and it's, frankly, it's a matter of us being able to represent our ideas. People like you are the ones who let our ideas out there.
What I'm hearing too is we're seeing more people, more parents show up at school board meetings. If there's something off, if there's something not working in their kid's school, they are respectfully, but they are showing up and they are starting to talk at these meetings. And people that were elected to these officials that were kind of just moving paper around, moving money around, and not being held accountable are now being held accountable. And that's the way the government was designed to work. And I think it's encouraging to the people that are showing up, and we can't lose heart, and we need to keep electing conservative people to fill these roles so that we can start to take control of the money that's being spent in our communities. Because I think that's where the greatest crimes are being committed, is where these elected officials focus the taxpayer money and how they're spending it.
It's literally become a fire hose of money going into different organizations. You follow the money, it's amazing. And that's one of the things, you know, socialism's great till they run out of other people's money, and eventually they're going to run out of money. And some of their dreams, their utopian dreams, like this 15-minute city, gang, if you haven't looked into that, that is Big Brother utopia, and it's going to end up in a horribly expensive, destructive dystopia. And you can't have a 15-minute city and be free. And that's what you have to understand. I think COVID gave them an initiative in their minds that they can become imperial overlords, and they're not. We're still a republic, and we're still a republic of free people. So, folks, get involved. I tell you, it's so important.
And, Kathleen, let me just say that you know, even if you don't have a kid in school, show up at a school board meeting or come to a Board of Supervisors meeting. And, again, like Dave said, follow the money. See where your tax dollars are going when it comes to illegal aliens as opposed to helping the homeless. See where your money is going. See who's getting this money. What organizations are getting this money? Because that's where it all comes together. And you are the, you know, our champion when it comes to the abuse of children and human trafficking see people what really is happening at our borders and do everything you can to put pressure on these Democrats so that we can help save these children and these women from exploitation and abuse.
Over the weekend in Phoenix, a homeless person was set on fire and thrown in a dumpster. And the other homeless people did nothing to help this person who died because they just didn't feel that anyone would listen to them or whatever. So think about that, that someone was set on fire and murdered in Phoenix, where the homeless encampments are growing, getting bigger. And this is happening in our state. And you know, we are becoming more and more like California. And, you know, California is taxing everything. If you have a bathroom in your business in California, you have to now pay $150 tax for the privilege of having a toilet in your business. And so if we, and it sounds like, oh, $150, I think that's a quarter. No big deal, right? Except that who's in government matters because they're setting policies. And we have to not, as Dave said, stay on our couches. The Westerns will still be there when we get back, but we need to go and get up and organize. And I think you've been doing a great job of organizing. We also need to clean up our voter rolls, and we need to have better than 35% turnout, which we had last election. We've got to double that. It's harder to cheat. It's harder to cheat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard to cheat. If you vote in mass, it's hard for them to cheat. And don't let all this hopeless talk that you hear from people make you helpless. You know, that's what those homeless people, they just felt helpless to help themselves or their friend. You folks, fight back. Again, stand up, help us. You know, and if you want to help one way, go golfing. April 30th, we're going to have that Great Balls of Fire golf tournament, and it's at Ventana Canyon. Now, you can't beat that. It's a reasonable, you're going to get to golf in one of the world's best golf courses at a great price. And the thing is these are the kind of things that help. Get involved.
We will be back on tomorrow.
And
Dave, we'll spend time talking about this. I've got to go. And you guys have a great day. Go Cubs. This is Kathleen Wynn.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks, guys. Wynn Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back tomorrow.